In 2015, the Oireachtas passed the Children and Family Relationships Bill in advance of the marriage referendum. At the time, some campaigners warned that the bill devalued the natural ties between a child and its mother and father and could pave the way to the commoditizing of children and to surrogacy. Now, in 2019, some of the implications of that bill are coming to reality, and you might be shocked at some of them. On Monday, Health Minister Simon Harris said he would sign the regulations to commence parts of the Children and Family Relationships Act. On the line now to tell us more, we have columnist with the Sunday Times and director of the Ione Institute, David Quinn. You're very welcome to the show, David. Hello, David.
Yep.
Yeah, got you there. First of all, David, can you remind us what the Children and Family Relationship Act is?
Okay, so obviously things like assisted human reproduction, all right, so things like IVF. So a couple or even an individual, you know, might decide that we need to avail of this. But they may not be able to provide the egg or the sperm themselves. So they will have to use what they call donated eggs or sperm,
sure,
often purchased. In the case of sperm, often from Denmark, would you believe?
Mm.
Now, what then is the legal relationship between a child and the parent who used a sperm donor or an egg donor to have the child? Because that parent is not necessarily the biological parent of the child.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, the other biological parent is the sperm donor or the egg donor. So what are the legal relationships here? And so the Children and Family Relationships Act, one of the things it seeks to do is create legal relationships between the parents who use donated sperm or use a donated egg or use the womb of a surrogate mother, and it creates the legal relationship between what they call the intending parents and the child. So I hope that's not too complicated.
Yeah, but it does. You really, as you tell it, you can see immediately where the difficulties would lie, because obviously there are intending or intended parents, and then there's actually a natural, I suppose, genetic link,
mm-hmm,
to people who aren't really involved at all.
Exactly. You see, so Simon Harris, anyway, he proudly announces that he's commencing parts of this, as they call it, parts of this act. So the act was passed in 2015, but then you've got to go through this other step where you've actually got to kind of implement the law, and that's called commencing it.
Why are some of its provisions being signed into law right now? I mean, what's specifically going on now?
Well, for example, let's say a female same-sex couple use a sperm donor to have a child. Okay, so what should appear in the birth cert?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And so what they're now saying is, well, the father's name doesn't have to appear in the birth cert because he's a sperm donor, and the two women can appear in the birth cert as the parents instead.
Okay.
So that's what he commenced the other day. Now, I mean, supposing, just to extrapolate a little bit, he hasn't yet got around to allowing two men to put their names on the birth cert quite yet, although
okay. They're
planning on getting around to that in due course. But, you see, what happens if, we'd say a single man, he decides I want to have a child, and obviously he has no womb, and he doesn't have a female partner, and so where does the egg come from? So he has to do two things. He might provide his own sperm, but he's going to have to essentially buy an egg from a donor, and he's also going to have to find somebody to provide the womb to gestate the baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the 9 months. And
yeah,
that may mean going to California, Ukraine, and actually paying somebody.
Yeah.
It's extremely difficult to access non-commercial surrogacy, as they call it, particularly in this country because it's so small.
Yeah.
So what's the legal relationship there? And so what it would be actually is that a single man, there would be a legal relationship between him and the child. So he'd appear in a birth cert. But the child would have no legal relationship with either the woman who acted as the birth mother or surrogate, and have no legal relationship with the woman who provided the egg, who's the biological mother. So the child would have no legal relationship, or probably any kind of relationship, with either the birth mother or the genetic mother, which is, say, the egg donor, only
nice.
With the man who provided the egg and is raising the child.
Okay.
And so the implications are vast, because what you're doing is you are deliberately cutting the natural tie to at least one parent.
Absolutely.
Now, some people often say, well, like, how about adoption? Isn't that the same as adoption? But no, it's obviously not the same. Because when a couple step in to adopt a child, they haven't cut the natural tie.
Absolutely, yeah.
The mother has said, I can't raise my child, I'm sorry, I'd love to be able to, but I can't. Now, can somebody else do it?
Yeah.
Okay? That's quite different to deliberately always intending, before the child was ever born or even conceived, to break the natural ties. So what it actually is saying is the natural ties don't really matter.
Yeah.
And that is a very radical thing to say, and it's something that's never been properly
It's never been done before. And I find it kind of interesting that they seem in some way to find it easier to push through, you know, the kind of legislation when it comes to two females having a child than two males, because there is that kind of connection with the womb, isn't there?
Exactly.
The person that gives birth. So it's doubly complicated because you then have to have a surrogate, and then there's all that. And I think the way our law, am I right in saying the way our law is set up is the person who gives birth really has the kind of the preeminent tie?
Well, yes, but you see, this is where it gets complicated again, unfortunately, because of course, if you're using a surrogate, then the person who gives birth is going to hand the child over to the, as it's termed, the intending parents. So who goes in the birth cert, okay?
Absolutely.
The birth mother, even though she's intending to hand the baby over upon birth, because she's a surrogate, or the adults who the baby gets handed over to. So who goes in the birth cert? And so what Simon Harris appears to be saying is, as well, that it'll be up to the court to decide that.
Okay. So the Act doesn't as such permit surrogacy, or it does?
It doesn't. Basically, that's going to be handled in a separate piece of legislation.
Okay.
You see, when the whole marriage referendum was being debated, issues about surrogacy were being raised. It's, oh, no, that's a completely separate issue.
It
has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And so they kind of shelved considerations about surrogacy. But now they're coming back to it. And what they basically seem to be saying is so-called altruistic or non-commercial surrogacy, where you don't pay a woman to have your baby, that won't be allowed. So it'll only be the non-commercial type that'll be allowed. But in practice, what will happen in the great majority of the cases, a couple or an individual, could be same-sex or it could be opposite-sex, or it could just be a single person, they will in practice go abroad to places like Ukraine. They were going to India, but India's banned that now. Nepal, California, and they will pay large sums of money to have the baby, and then they will come home, and even though commercial surrogacy is nominally banned here, they can work their way around it by going abroad, will come back with the baby, and then in most cases the courts will recognize the commissioning parents as the legal parents also.
Yeah.
So they'll be able to do end runs around the law.
Yeah. Am I right in saying the government, I mean, because this hasn't been really front and centre. It's interesting, I often come into work here in Spirit Radio and the first time I hear of anything is when we're really trying to research it, you know.
Yeah.
Has the government been given a fairly easy ride on this?
Well, completely. I mean, I've heard interviews with him, with Simon Harris, that is, asked no tough questions at all.
Yeah.
Just none. It's just amazing that you can have a piece of legislation that gives full blessing to the deliberate, intentional, premeditated severing of the natural tie and the alteration of birth cert so that you can remove the father's, you know, father's name never appears on it deliberately.
Yeah.
It's not the father's unknown, he's deliberately not on it. And this is done without any hard questions, any scrutiny, any political opposition, any media opposition, nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's an incredibly fundamental question, how much do the biological and natural ties matter? And, you know, we've had all these adoption scandals in the past where adoption was very badly handled.
Absolutely.
And they made it very hard for children to trace their natural parents, and usually the mothers they go looking for, as we know. And we're scandalized by this. And we have programs like Who Do You Think You Are, where people go tracing their family trees and are very interested in this. And even if you take Irish names like Mac This and Oh That, they mean, you know, son of or knee that, daughter of.
Yeah.
It's all about where you come from.
Absolutely.
And now we're saying none of that matters.
Yeah.
And we've done this without any debate.
And that's the worst part, because you get the feeling like this is likely to come back and bite them, isn't it?
Well, you see, there's already children born through what they call donor conception, that is when you use a donor egg as sperm, who have grown into adulthood. And they are campaigning for their rights. Now, there's a variety of opinion among them. So some of them say, well, I'm not opposed to the practice in full, but you've got to recognise our rights to identity and our rights to know who our natural parents are and maybe have a relationship with them at some point. And then there's others who are saying, children now who wouldn't exist without donor conception, they're saying it shouldn't be permitted at all, okay? You can't bring a child into the world any old way, all right? So they want to ban completely. So there's a lady you should have on your programme actually sometime. Her name is Joanna Rose. So Joanna is now an adult campaigner for the rights of donor-conceived children, and she is a donor-conceived person. And she's an extremely strong advocate. So she lives in England, but she's been over here a few times. An extremely strong advocate for the rights of donor-conceived children. Incredibly articulate. And we're going to hear their story more and more and more as the years go on. And we're going to ask ourselves, why did we allow that without any questions?
Yeah.
Now, the law, does, in fairness, is saying that when the donor-conceived child, whose father might be a sperm donor, a mother, an egg donor, reaches the age of 18, they will have a right to know who that person is. Okay? Yeah. But they have to wait till they're 18. In Germany, they don't have to wait at all. But then they're going to find, in all likelihood, that if donor sperm is used, it is almost certainly going to be from Denmark.
Yeah.
All right, that's nearly what all the clinics use here. Denmark, believe it or not, is the biggest exporter of sperm in the world. So there's a big feather in their cap. And you're going to find out your dad is a guy from Denmark, and he's named, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Are you realistically going to have any relationship with him, particularly as he has probably become father to a lot more children as well? He might have one or two dozen or more children scattered around the world.
Yeah.
All right? You're not realistically going to have a relationship with him. And so this business that you can know his name when you're 18, well, that's grand, but you know what? It doesn't go far enough.
Well, then you have the problem, of course, these people meeting up and falling in love with each other and getting married, and they're all connected directly, and the mess then that could create as well.
And you see, that's why it always made sense to know who your father is,
exactly.
Know who your mother is.
Yeah, there's a reasons for these things. There's reasons that we've been doing it this way for 10,000 years and plus. Mm. Do we have any indication, by the way, that the Irish people want these particular provisions? I realise there's a certain cohort that definitely do, but, you know, generally?
The vast majority of people wouldn't even know this is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see, when it gets presented to them, it gets presented in a very sugar-coated way, and the hard questions aren't asked, and it sounds like, oh, well, this is only fair. And so why wouldn't you be doing this? Because they're the people raising the child, so why wouldn't you put them on the birth cert? And they're not thinking through, well, hang on a minute, what have you actually done here? You're altering birth certs. One of the natural parents' names is not there. You've severed the natural tie and purpose. So these questions are not asked. And if you do ask them, you're the worst in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, and you get called all the usual things.
Yeah.
And so we have another, you know, suppression of debate going on, which is why stations like Spirit Radio are so important, because it's one of the few stations that actually challenges the current orthodoxies.
Okay, you've certainly given us plenty to think about there, David. David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Times and director of the IAN Institute. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe.